Jaspers took away. That's what that sketch your butt is worth. Now, that was exactly my move.
What's up and welcome back to Propels Talk presented by Boot Crew Media. My name is Justin Napoli and welcome back to Fans Edition Part 2. Joining us today are two guys that are extremely passionate about the Pelicans. I've definitely gone back and forth with both of them over these last year or so, but I respect and truly admire their passion and thoughts when it comes to the Pelicans, so that's why I have y'all on the show today. Welcome Tyler and Jeremy. As you can see, their Twitter handles. You can follow Tyler at TyNola5, Jeremy at JDub9911. First off, gentlemen, Tyler, Jeremy, how are y'all today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah, no complaints over here.
Good. So let's get right into it. We'll start off with Tyler first. Tyler, then we'll throw it to Jeremy. Who do you want to be the next head coach? It's a big topic right now. I want to hear your thoughts on it.
So when the whole process started, I think I was leaning towards Mosley. Everything I read about him sounded good. I don't really like to get too in-depth on assistant coaches, but, you know, all the reviews on Lee sounded good. But I think I've turned on to Willie Green recently. He seems very much the same personality-wise as Charles Lee, but, you know, the NBA experience, him being a former Hornet, that to me, that seems like it'll be important for the guys.
Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, to be honest, I really, really don't lean one way or another. I don't care because I'm focused on the roster. However, if you make me pick, I will say Willie Green as well. Like I said, he has some experience as an NBA player. He's a former Hornet. It seems as though he has a great rapport with NBA players as well. So, let's go for it. I'm here for Willie to be the next coach.
Yeah. All right. So it seems like we're all on the same page with Willie Green. Now, why do you think that all of a sudden Willie Green, and I'll start with you, Tyler, first. Why did all of a sudden Willie Green's name kind of just catapult into that lead position, right? Because you kept hearing Charles Lee, Jacques Vaughn, those kind of names. Why do you think all of a sudden Willie Green, or do you think Willie Green was an actual target this whole time?
Kind of feel like he's been a target. I mean, I'm just really going off of what Fletcher's been reporting recently. I think he's been doing a good job with that. It kind of felt like it was between Jacques Vaughn and Charles Lee for a while, but, you know, I think what the Suns have done here is impressive. I hope that Willie Green has been, you know, on Griff's mind and the, you know, front office for a while, but you know, I think it's just, I'm just mainly going off of what Fletcher's been saying. It seems like Willie Green's our guy at this point.
Fair enough. Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems as though they want a former player and a young guy this time around. It was pushing towards Jacques Vaughn. And Charles Lee interviewed last year.
This is always talking shit.
And they wanted to get back with him, see if anything changed or improved. But it seemed like they want to push towards a former coach. And when Jacques Vaughn pulled his name from consideration, you heard the report of Brandon Ingram being at the game. Mark Spears broke that. And then the news started swirling that he was with Trajan and has been the snowball effect ever since then. So I think they want to target a former player who's young and who knows the game of basketball.
Right. And listen, I'm a Willie Green guy. I could be a Charles Lee guy. So I think they're two good, could be good coaches here. We'll never know, right, until – we actually hire somebody.
Like no one knows. You have to be with the coach before you can say if he's good or not. We have to see it through.
Right. And that's the thing. I also don't want to overlook Fred Vinson. I do think that he would be a good candidate. I know he got an interview and things like that, but you know, bringing in another new guy, third coach in three years. And I feel like Vinson's been there for a while. Like I could have sworn he could have been, an actual top candidate, but you know, who knows right here, but listen, it's going to be a little crazy in the next couple. You know, we got Willie Green, you got Charles Lee, Fred Vincent still in house right now. So who knows what's going to happen next?
And Teresa Teaspoon was a huge name that came out. So it seems like a lot of people want this job. It's not like it's a job that people are shying away from, but you really don't know once they get into that number one chair and any type of assistant.
Right. Tyler, go ahead.
I'm big on Fred Vincent as well. Ideally, whoever we bring in as head coach, if it's not Fred Vinson and Weatherspoon are going to be on the staff. they have to be. You know, players love them. They've gotten positive reviews from everyone. I've actually seen Fred Vinson up close working out his son. I used to work out at the same gym as Fred Vinson was doing slalom. He's a great shooting coach from what I've seen, just him running his own son through drills. So, you know,
I want to piggyback a comment there, Todd, that you mentioned. How important, I'll start with Jeremy first, how important is it to keep Teaspoon and Vincent in-house? Because clearly the players like them. They like, you know, they trust Vincent. They trust Teaspoon. We've heard how the relationship with Nah and Teaspoon and Kyra and Teaspoon and even Zion and Teaspoon has really, you know, catapulted their relationship. Jeremy, how big is it to keep Vincent and Teaspoon on the staff?
I think it's huge. I think Stan Van, with all his comments he's made, he did key on one good thing, that it's going to be head coach number three. Now, granted, we don't necessarily need Fred to be the head guy, but we need some consistency within the coaching staff to keep these guys afloat. You can't have different personalities coming in and out. There's no way to get any float with players and coaches.
Chris Connor's killing me. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, before I go, Chris, yes, this could be the hot 8-8, but it's 5 o'clock.
Todd, go ahead.
No, I think Jeremy's spot on there. You know, Vincent's been here since Monty, I think, which I was surprised. I, for some reason, assumed he came here with Alvin, but he's here since 2010, I think, when I looked it up. So he's seen Chris Paul. He's seen Anthony Davis. Now he's seen Zion. I think it's important to have him on the staff, someone who's been here. Organization. Same with Tariq. This is a great relationship with a bunch of the young team, Kyra, Nikhil. You know, obviously whoever the head coach is going to want to bring in their guys, but you know, I think it's important to have those to also help the new coach transition.
Sure. Yeah. Now, Jeremy, I want to get to a question that I think has been really circulating in the Pelicans Twitter sphere. You know, I joined Pelican Twitter about a year and a half ago. I'm kind of still a rookie with this whole thing, but there is a lot of animosity towards each other. So I wanted to ask this question of what annoys you the most about Pelican Twitter? Because I didn't realize this, but there are a lot of rivalries and a lot of people that don't like each other, people blocking each other. What is one thing that kind of annoys you?
Okay, we're here because we like the Pels. That's what right. I thought. We like the New Orleans Hornets / Pelicans. That's why we root for this team. I understand if you need to get interactions for your sites or your Twitter feeds or whatever. I get that. I understand the game. But we're here for the Pelicans. We're not here for any other team. We're not here because a certain sector of a fan base for following a player along. That's, I mean, I'm not totally against that. I have my issues with stand-up, whatever you want to call it. But the people here are supposed to want to watch the Pelicans thrive and survive. We shouldn't be wanting complete damnation, everything torn down, another executive coming in. We shouldn't be wanting that. We should want, at the end of the day, have a little optimism, even if it's cautiously optimistic, for them to thrive. And for you to constantly want the end all to everything so you can look good, so you can say you're right. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And it makes you seem miserable. When you constantly say it, it makes you seem miserable. And I'll just say it like that.
Tyler, go ahead.
Yeah, I think maybe just the nature of being, you know, fan team like the Pelicans that is up and down all the time kind of goes along with that. So at losses, it's the end of the world. You know, after wins, everyone's riding high. So I guess what annoys me sometimes personally, just we can't really kind of stay in a middle ground, just collectively, like the whole anyone in particular. But yeah, that's mainly it for me. It's just, it seems like overreactions a lot of the time. And, you know, in the moment it makes sense, but you see the next day and it's like, we talked about this last night. We don't need to keep bringing it up.
Right. Yeah. And listen, I'll admit it. I overreact all the time, but that's just who I am. I mean, if you've known me, there's a lot of people that know me. I'm 32 years old. I overreact at literally everything, but that's just who I am. But I mean, I truly love like interacting with everybody. I didn't know Jeremy and Ty. I'm I'll admit this. I didn't know what a stand was until about like 5 months ago, until I was introduced to Lonzo Ball stands. I didn't know what a stand meant. I didn't know that there were only fans of an actual player and not.
Well, it's the team. Play on. You remember the old Eminem song? It's a play on that. It's a play on that.
Okay, so I learned that. I didn't like one of my favorite songs. I didn't put two and two together, but like, I didn't realize that was a thing until, you know, I saw Schmidt would be like, and I would see Schmidt and go back and forth with these Lonzo Ball stands. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I didn't realize that was a thing. We have some guy says some people on this, I don't know who this is. Some people on this app will try to have you thinking David Griffin is Vince
McMahon. That's pretty good.
That's actually a really good one right there. And listen, we all want the same thing. We want the Pelicans to be, to thrive and things like that, but it's okay to be critical of David Griffin, things like that. But it's also okay. But it's also what I don't really like is that they only focus on negatives and not positives. Right. Mm-hmm. I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Jackson Hayes are a positive. Like, yes, he admitted like Stan Van Gundy was a bad hire. Okay. We got off it. It was just bad. Okay. But at the end of the day, what's worse, not admitting your problem or admitting the problem and trying to get it better. That's what David Griffin did. Now he has a hell of an off season in front of him with Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, trades, and that's what we're about to get to next, Tyler. Tyler, I know you're big on Buddy Hield, and I want to hear your trade targets for this offseason. Tyler, I'll let you go first, and then Jeremy, you can follow after him.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been tweeting about Buddy Hield for the last few days.
Years,
yeah. He's my favorite player. He's been my favorite player since his last year at Oklahoma. He seems like he's kind of a depreciated value right now. His role in Sacramento is kind of questionable. You know, he doesn't seem to have a consistent role. He gets along very well with Walton. I think that was out there last summer that he wasn't answering his texts. So, you know, if you turn Steven Adams or Eric Bledsoe and second round picks or something into Buddy Hield, that would be a really solid move for the Pelicans. You put me in a role, he's maybe your third scorer playing off B.I. and Zion. I think he could thrive here. He, you know, he's only a year removed from averaging 20 points per game. And he's, in my opinion, one of the best top five shooters in the league, you know, just based on volume and percentage. Other than Buddy, Malcolm Brogdon's another guy. I think his name's coming out in rumors right now. I think he's the kind of lead guard we need that can kind of play off ball but also take pressure off of Zion and Ingram. To set up the offense at times, kind of look around at guys like Malik Beasley and Willie, little brother out in Minnesota. But yeah, those are kind of guys I'm looking at that aren't, you know, the Lillards of the world right now, because who knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the Dame whole thing. I want to get to that Dame Lillard topic. But Jeremy, go ahead. Give me a trade target that you want in a Pelicans uniform next year.
The president, Malcolm Brogdon. I've been eyeing him for a while. He was the second best, the third best player on that Milwaukee Bucks team that went to the conference finals. Everywhere he's gone, the offenses look solid to good. He can shoot the three. He can hit free throws if you need him down the clutch. He's a pretty good passer. He can lead an offense. He can get easy shots for Zion and Brandon Ingram, which is something that they struggled with. As great as Lonzo Ball's passing is with a secondary pass and final open, and he's phenomenal about that at that, especially in the I was getting to him next. And you know, but Malcolm Brogdon can set up an offense and get them easy shots in the half court, something this team sorely missed when Drew left. The offense was clicking last year, even though Zion was overweight and he couldn't get it off the dribble. He got easy passes from Drew and got set up with Drew. As McQuaid just pointed out, I would also love Doug McDermott. I actually texted Tyler about a month and a half ago and asked, if you had to give the MLE or something close, would you want to give that money to Josh Hart or to Doug McDermott? And at the end of the day, I would choose Doug every time because we do need that spacer and that dude that if you attack the closeout, he could dribble and hit a 20-footer. Help with the second unit. The same thing, similar to what the Buddy could do, but maybe on a smaller contract if you could do a sign and trade, because I believe he's a pending free agent. So those two dudes, ironically, from Pacers, and neither of them Miles Turner, I would love on this team.
Yeah, listen, I've been a big Malcolm Brogdon fan, and same with Buddy Hield. I know we had mentioned, I think Nall will be actual starter. I am James number one, moving forward. I think that Nall's got to be, he's got to be penciling in your starting room number two, at the two guard. Now, Tyler, I know you mentioned, we kind of went back and forth on this, maybe Nikhil Alexander Walker at the one, with Point Zion kind of, you know, facilitating the offense. What do you think of Point Zion? Because you've advocated for it. You really like it. I want to hear your thoughts on why you like Point Zion, and, you know, will Charles Lee or Willie Green use Point Zion moving forward?
So, yeah, like we were talking about earlier with Stan, you know, recognizing it was not the right hire, but there are some good things come out of it. I think Point Zion was probably the best thing to come out of hiring Stan. If it's true that he's the only, you know, candidate we interviewed last year that even mentioned it, you know, it's, I think Griff said that in his press conference. I can't remember where that was. I think the numbers, you know, when we saw the transition to, you know, Zion leading the offense, you know, we had enough of a sample size to see it's real. And I don't know if you can really rely on it, the 35 minutes a game Zion's on the court. I think you still need another guard that can, you know, take pressure off. Like Jeremy mentioned Brogdon. We both mentioned Brogdon earlier. He's that kind of guard that, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to be in control of the offense, but he can take those possessions away, so Zion's not working 100% on offense every game. And I do kind of think Nikhil might become that guard, especially after seeing him play last week with Canada playing for Nick Nurse. I think that experience is going to go a long way for him. I don't know if they're going to use him in summer league, but yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on Point Zion. I think it just having the ball in your best player's hands initiating the offense, I mean, you can't really go wrong with that. And he passing is more than capable to handle it.
Yeah, for sure. And Jeremy, I wanted to ask you this question. The past couple of years, this team has really struggled closing games out, right? And I think it's due to lack of, I mean, Gentry was kind of a disaster there in the late last 3 or 4 minutes. And same with this year with Stan Van Gundy. A lot of people talked about spacing this year. 2 years ago, we didn't really necessarily have the Point Zion, things like that. What do you want to see moving forward with this next year's team? Do you want to see spacing? Do you want to see creators like a Nikhil Alexander Walker, like a Malcolm Brogdon? What do you think this team, because like the team's not far off. We can all admit Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson are two great cornerstones to have. You know, there's two all-stars that are going to average 24 a night. What does this team, Jeremy, what do they need to take that next step? Is it Malcolm Brogdon? Is it a Dame Lillard? Like, what do you think?
Well, Dame time aside, I know I'm in the minority, but I believe that Brandon Ingram can regress to the mean. I mean, everyone's thrown out those numbers of, you know, 24% his in crunch time, and he had those missed free throws. Everybody remember that Portland game when he missed the free throws when they lost a 17-point lead. No one talks about the Denver game when he hit the clutch free throws. No one talks about when he came through in the Dallas game. I believe they have guys that could win in the clutch, but also I believe I would rather win by 20 a lot more times and not have so many close games. I love when teams have to play the bench units in the fourth quarter and they rest up because they may be a playoff team. Man, I don't. I get, you know, we focus on that time, but man, it would be real good to have a net rating of 8 or something where I'm not worried about that every game.
it's true. I'd rather win by 20 than win by 2. But this team struggles and. I've always credited to spacing, right? I don't know why, but Stan Van Gundy wanted to close with Adams and Bledsoe every game. Like he didn't really make adjustments with that. I don't know the relationship him and Eric.
I saw your clip. I saw your clip with the Boston's game and shown how just Melly came out and just
even Melly. Get Melly out here. He would space out too. He could knock down threes. I mean, like. What and Jeremy, I want to get to this point is that it doesn't matter who's on the floor. It's just that Nikola Melli was a threat. So when he's a threat, you can't leave him open. I don't care who. I just know that Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams in the pregame, they're like, don't guard this guy, don't guard this guy. And it's just like, let's clog the paint, let's stop Zion, let's stop Brandon, and then just close out long on Lonzo. And it's just easy to stop. But if you can get some spacing in that final closing minutes, and then also in that second unit, it just becomes, the game becomes a lot easier for your Brandon Ingrams, for your Zion Williamson. So, I mean, listen, we're all sitting here just, I mean, it's very easy to see. It's a lot harder to do, but I do think David Griffin has to be, I actually like this point here by Brandon. Miserable under SVG during pandemic year. He'll be better. He has to improve on defense. Jeremy, Tyler, you, listen, if he's a max guy, he's got to be a two-way guy. Like he, yes. Now, this one of the last points, and I want both of y'all to mention or talk about this. We both know he has to be better defensively. Tyler, what does it take? You play the game. Like, does it take energy? Does it take effort? Like, why is he not good defensively? Was he not bought in? What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's hard to dissect from the outside. I think he has the tools to be a good defender. Like, he has incredible length. You know, you can't teach that. He needs to be taught how to use it. I think he's kind of struggled his whole NBA career, really, using his length. And, you know, if you get the right coach in, I think he can be improved on that area. You know, you can talk about his foot speed or whatever. I think other guys have mentioned that. But that kind of, that stuff he can make up for a little bit with his length. And the rest of it's just communication and effort, really. You know, defense is effort more than anything else. And I think you get the right coach who both – in it's not only Ingram. It's Ingram and Zion. They both need to improve, I think we can admit. But if they're all bought in, the whole team's bought in, talking, the energy is right. You know, you could see what the Hawks did. You know, I'm also a Trae Young fan. I mentioned Buddy. You know, I'm an Oklahoma guy. Trae Young's not a good defender. There's no getting around that. I don't think the Hawks really have a plus defender with DeAndre Hunter out, you know, that they start, except maybe Capella. They're all, you know, Nate McMillan's a great coach. They're all linked, talking, so – they got to the Eastern Conference Finals on that. I think the Pelicans can get there with Zion and BI not being, you know, all defense guys. They need to be average, I guess, is what I'm going to say. Yeah. I think Zion. Yeah.
Completely fair. That is completely fair. Also, Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, but to piggyback on the Trae Young, you know, Devin Booker wasn't a good defender until you start winning. I mean, once you get – so the playoffs, especially, you know, the playoffs, you know, everyone is trying to defend. You know, like you said, Trae Young was a good defender. Trae Young also stunted and closed out on shooters, then got back to his man on a couple right. of times in the Philly series. Everyone is trying to do their damn because they don't want to lose when it comes, you know, when the back's against the wall. Conversely, in the regular season, if you're charged with a 28, 29, 30 usage rate, it's really – we're asking the best of the best of the best all-time players to take on that big offensive load and be a decent to plus defender. It's 72 to 82 games. Sometimes our expectations because of the contract and because of the status may be a tad bit too much because we'll say, hey, you guys, combined for 51 points a game while also covering your man and having little spacing – oh, yeah, and this head coach is always barking down your neck every freaking time. Oh, by the way, you can't go outside. You can't have any friends on the outside. Do all that in a compressed season where you after you didn't want to be in Orlando. Oh, and by the way, you're 20 and 24 years old. As a 40-year-old man, I may be asking a tad bit too much.
Yeah, I think
40-year-old out of shape old man. I'm definitely asking for too much if I want you to be on the offensive defensive team after you're doing all that.
Yeah, I think that's part of why me and Jeremy both want a guy like Brogdon here that takes some of the offensive energy away from Zion, yeah, that they can apply it elsewhere in the game. You know, you're asking them so much in offense, maybe you can take a little pressure off and
yes,
another scorer or creator out there with them.
Yeah, listen, that's fair points. I want y'all to answer this last question. We'll roll, but from Rand Wilson 10, do you think we lack major energy guys after watching these playoffs? Don't feel like we have dogs. The only one dog I felt like we had was Josh Hart. I do think that Najee, and even like a Wenyan and things like that. Those are high energy guys. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't want to overpay for like a Josh. Like Najee Marshall is the perfect example. Like you can find a million Najee Marshalls for the right price, things like that. Tyler, then Jeremy, then we'll sign off. Do you target high energy guys this offseason as well, or Are we going after the Malcolm Brogdons, the Miles Turners, the Dame Lillard, whoever it made, the buddies? What do you got?
I just also want to mention James Johnson. I think we forgot about him. I think he is also a very
high. About that. The real JJ.
Yeah. I forgot about that. A lot of change of energy after that, the JJ trade. I don't think he needs to start. I think, you know, he was forced into that role just because of injuries. I'd like them bring him back using the bird rights that they have, you know, maybe not use the MLE or anything on him. He's made $16 million last year. He's going to take a pay cut because of his age. But I think Najee, Didi probably is going to end up being one of those energy guys, but hard to really put too much expectations on him considering he only played like five games, whatever it was. Hart, you know, I go back and forth on Hart. It's really going to depend on the price point with him. I'd like to see him back, but just depends how much he gets offered out there. But yeah, also depends on the trades we make. Bledsoe's got to go. And from there, yeah, from there,
hey man, I'll just attack Bob Bledsoe stand today. I didn't think they existed, but I found one.
Wow.
I haven't really looked too much at what kind of agents are out there, so I really don't have much thought on that. But yeah, if you get a scorer out there in the trade market, and then you draft a guy like Kispert, who probably the only guy at 10 I've really looked at, allocate the MLE and stuff to energy guys that, you know, you can bring in off the bench. I think we have the MLE and the BAA this year since we didn't use them last year. So yeah, it really just depends on what other moves are made, where they're made.
Jeremy, go ahead.
As McQuaid said in the chat, the playoffs bring the dogs out of everybody. So if we make it to that excess, you're gonna see high energy day in and day out. But go piggyback to your Boston clip. We saw high energy from everybody when they were down 24.
Right.
And they came back and won that game. They have the ability to do this. Now, they do not do it consistently. They haven't shown it yet. Maybe, again, different coaching to bring it out of them. But all these guys, all 510 guys in the NBA, they got dog in them. They got high energy. They didn't make it this far without having that little extra to get to the biggest of stage. So every player has dog in them. It's just who or what can bring it out of them. And I'm hoping that the next hire in this environment will bring that out of everyone.
Yeah, and that's the guy. You got to have a guy, like a head coach, that they're willing to go to war for every single night.
Yep.
I promise this will be the last question. This will be the last question.
nah, I never want to go.
Because it's a great point. I think Nikhil Alexander-Walker is your starting two guard. I think he's really good defensively. He's long. And I think he's just a walking bucket. I think his three-point percentage will get better this year. I want to hear your thoughts, just yes or no. I'll start by saying yes, because I do like Lonzo Ball. Do you think, Tyler, and it has to be for the right price, should the Pelicans sign Lonzo Ball in the offseason?
Yeah, for the right price, yeah. Was it Jackson Frank said, was it 4 for 64? I think more than that. Anywhere 4 for is kind of my upper limit. But yeah, I think Lonzo, my Twitter account doesn't get into the nuance. I do think Lonzo's a good player. I just am worried how much the Knicks particularly are going to offer him. But if you get a guy like Buddy or Brogdon instead of Bledsoe, I think Lonzo fits great there. And then Nikhil can be your second.
Right. Jeremy?
And I echo those sentiments totally. Like, it's not so much that Lonzo's a bad player. I even say, my Twitter account says Lonzo's a winning player. But again, price point, the first thing, we don't know if he gets restricted free agency and someone gets $100 million. Help those guys win and get your money. Also, if you bring in a good lead guard, which if we want to talk about that now, the Dame situation, if you truly go that far and get Damian, but even Malcolm Brogdon, Bledsoe was really, 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 really bad. Competent guard play next to Lonzo will make Lonzo look good. A guard who can penetrate makes Lonzo look good. Makes Brandon Ingram look good. Makes Zion the dunking spot look good. Makes Jackson Hayes, when he has his minutes, look good. Just a guy who could get in the teeth of the defense and knows what he's doing. will make everyone look better. Not a guy who gets there and is like, okay, now what? And about you don't give the ball enough, so I'm not trying on defense anymore. Like, we don't, you can't have that guy. That guy makes everyone look terrible.
To
answer your question, if you get a competent guard, you can put Nall on the bench because he is a I'm going to get my bucket type of guy. And if he is like, I say like 90% of Manu or Goran Dragic, especially when he was in Phoenix, hey, man, go in there. We don't care if you make mistakes. Get us some buckets.
Ty, go ahead.
Yeah, just one last point. I think it was Will Guillory tweeted today that that with Lonzo, Drew, B.I., and Zion last year, how many points they outscored by.
I think it was 130 or something.
Yeah, and in what, like 300 minutes or something? Maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get your guard that can fill that Drew role, that can attack. Lonzo is a great player there because he's not your third scoring. He does his job. He moves the ball. He gets his assists. He makes threes. It's a great spot for him.
Absolutely.
For sure. Listen, guys, I hope we get to do this again. I'm truly enjoying it. I think every Tuesday I'm going to try to do a fans edition. The GOATs of Pels Twitter, in my opinion.
Nah, man, ain't no GOAT. Tyler. I ain't no GOAT. I'm like Charles Barker right now. I ain't no GOAT. I'm none of that. I'm just a fan who's passionate about
football.
Y'all got to get Hager on here since he was talking
who's
smack
that,
earlier.
Tyler? Who's that?
Y'all get Ryan Hager on here.
Oh, get Ryan Hager. He is the GOAT. He is the GOAT. Everyone absolutely loves him. All the media guys love Ryan. Get Ryan.
Ryan? Okay. He'll be next. But I do – Tyler and I actually went out yesterday with the Red Sox and Astros. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, Tyler.
I'm a Cubs fan. Hey, man.
Well, I feel really bad for you. I think they just lost 10 in a row. So.
Yeah, just – I'm tired of these guys, man. I'm tired of
them. since Katrina when I evacuated to Houston, so.
Yeah. And listen, they're going to be really – they're going to make it. They're going to be really good. I just still think banging the trash cans and whatever. We don't have to get into that. I promise we wouldn't get into that.
Everyone cheats. Everyone cheats.
But if you get caught.
Oh, you get caught. You got to take your L. You got to take your L.
Objectively hilarious how they were cheating. I admit that. Banging a trash can is funny. They deserve it.
The trash can is funny.
They're just, yeah, whatever. Anyways, Tyler at TyNola5, Jeremy at JDub9911. Guys, thanks so much for joining Fans Edition number 2. We're out. Go Pels. Hope we get a coach soon. See you later.
Way. It was a finger roll of anything.
That's a dunk.